The much-anticipated rematch between the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets. All the excitement building up, a potential fight, so much tension. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. Unfortunately, Miami dropping a game to the Nuggets without Jimmy Butler, without Tyler Hero. We'll break it all down for you right here on Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you may be listening on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm David Ramillan. With me, as always, is my co-host, Wes Goldberg. Today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is a new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. Well, I'll tell you what, we could have used some Truebill on this Heat game, Wes, because that was, well, that was kind of disappointing, let me tell you. We had so much excitement building up here. I remember requesting credentials for this game after the last Nuggets win, thinking, oh man, this was going to be fantastic. It's going to be a rematch. The Jokic brothers were in attendance. It was going to have all this hype about it. Not quite living up to those expectations. The Jokic brothers were in attendance, and there was a lot of media. Unfortunately, the Heat didn't quite show up, not really until the second half. Without Jimmy Butler again, without Tyler Hero, a big chunk of their offense missing, and Miami looked really flat in the first half. They were able to get some momentum going late in the game towards the third quarter, fourth quarter in particular. They started catching fire a little bit. But this was just not a good game. Look, you know what? We're here. Let's talk about the game. What were your takeaways from tonight's matchup?
To me, it was just a matter of Denver making 18 of their 35 3-point attempts, 51%. Crazy. And they're making, and it wasn't just like the Heat were giving up a bunch of wide open threes. They gave up a few, right?
Yeah. But what they do.
Denver was also just draining shots from like 35 feet out. Bones Highland, the rookie who I drafted to my Dynasty Fantasy Basketball League. Yeah. So that if we're talking about silver lining, there's one of them. But 5 of 8 from 3-point range, none of which were taken like from normal 3-point range, it felt like, during the entire game. He was just in fuego. All these other guys were just hitting shots. Will Barton, 4 of 6. He was just hitting a bunch of stuff from the corners and things like that. Nikola Jokic was dominant early and basically throughout the game. And Bam Adebayo, to me, it was a tale of two halves for him. Just really, really bad in that, just flatly bad in that first half. I know we're going to get into that a little bit later on, but on a night without Jimmy Butler, without Tyler Hero, you and I talked about it. We were standing courtside before the game, and we talked about it before, and I said, you know, Bam needs probably one of the best games of his career to beat a good Denver team, right? This is a good team. Right. I know that they've lost a bunch of games in a row, but they've been dealing with injuries, things like that. And they needed that from Bam. Bam didn't provide it. He wasn't there really until the second half. You just combine all the injuries that the Heat were dealing with just an unbelievable shooting night by Denver, and this was going to be a loss. The weird thing, David, is that they only lost by 9 after trailing for most of the game by 24 points
I think.
Game.
Yeah.
They only end up losing 120 to 111. And so I think there are some, like, weirdly, there are a couple positive takeaways. I know you were tweeting about a couple of them before after the game, but those are basically my takeaways.
Yeah, look, Nuggets, losers of 6 straight. They had missed Nikola Jokic for a bunch of those games. He was nursing a wrist injury. Unfortunately, it looked like Bam Adebayo was struggling with a wrist injury of his own. Look, we were at the game, and then at the halftime, I said, you know what? It does not look like Miami's coming back for this one. So I began the long trek back to home, thinking to myself, you know what, maybe I'll miss a hell of a comeback for the Heat. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way. But I don't know if you could tell at the arena, but on the television replay, they showed Bam frequently grabbing his wrist, grabbing his hand. So it looks like he might have been nursing some kind of an injury there as well. Obviously, he's been having that inflammation in his knee, too. He did not look good. And look, we know that Jokic kind of has Bam's number, right? It's a matchup that Jokic has dominated in the past just because he has that size advantage over Bam. He was able to get to his offensive repertoire pretty easily. Just everything working so well for the Nuggets. I'm basically here because we have to. I mean, maybe you feel much more strongly about it than I do. I just kind of wanted to talk my way through it because it was just a game that like it just really sucked. It really it was something I was really looking forward to. I thought, oh man, this is gonna be a great game. And then we get the news that Jimmy's out. Yeah, it was Tyler out. And then you're thinking, who's gonna step up? Somebody has to step up. We're expecting the big game from big game Gabe Vincent. That didn't quite work out that way. Max Strus, maybe he'd show up. Duncan Robinson, who we'll talk about later, and I know a lot of Heat fans are disappointed in him as well, but you know what? Nobody showed up. As you pointed out, Bam really only had his moments till the second half. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, Jimmy Butler is the shot creator. And when you don't have him, you're kind of going to a lot of, you know, can Kyle Lowry get it going? Can Bam get it going? Another night when Tyler Hero wasn't there, so he's sort of your tough shot maker. And so you don't have your main shot creator. You don't have your tough shot maker. It just felt like everything that the Heat needed to do tonight was going to be from beyond the arc. Like if they were going to keep up with a Denver offense, that is really good when Jokic is on the floor. And that variance just didn't work out the way of the Heat. And it really worked out the way of the Denver. I don't think the Nuggets are that much better than the Heat. Even with the injuries that the Heat had, I just think that the variance thing was so skewed one way versus the other, that was the sort of night that you end up with, like in the second quarter. It's just pretty obvious that where this night is going. Obviously, extremely anticlimactic. That was no fun. The fact that Jimmy Butler missed the game with a tailbone contusion, which ranks number one in worst contusions, like that has to be the worst contusion that I could think of.
Imagine any worse. Yeah, I mean, it's maybe there's another one. Maybe, probably like a head contusion, concussion. Right.
I'd rather have a head contusion than a tailbone contusion. I don't sit on my head. Like, how do you even sit down?
But you okay? No, you have to have one of those donut shaped pillows that people use for like inflamed hemorrhoids or something like that. Have you seen those things at like a CVS or
Walgreens? Is that where you get them? I didn't know where to get them, so I feel like I had a tailbone.
I'm not saying I owned one, Wes. If that's what you're insinuating, I don't. But I don't know. People
I think a head contusion is just called a concussion.
Maybe. But either way, it sucked. That sounds like a pretty terrible injury. I'll give you that. A tailbone contusion, that seems bad.
Were there any positives that we could take away from this game?
The play of Caleb Martin, who we'll talk about a little bit. He started in place of Jimmy Butler. I think that's probably the most positive. Bam showing up in the second half, I guess, is a secondary positive. And the fact that, look, you're pretty close. I saw somebody respond to my positivity saying, you know, they were missing key players too. Yeah, they absolutely were. They're missing Jamal Murray, who we saw shooting before the game, and he looks like he's close to a comeback. Again, we're not doctors. We don't play them on TV or on YouTube. And yet he was able to move around pretty easily, at least, you know, in terms of pregame warmups. They're also missing Michael Porter Jr., who's out for the season because of back surgery. So that was not great. That's certainly a blow. But they get Jokic back. He imbues the team with a certain level of energy. And yet, conversely, Miami, without their two best scorers in Hero and Butler, made a decent effort of it, I guess. You know, take away all the anticlimactic aspect of side, and at least Miami battled back. You wish it would have just had more energy in the first half. I think a lot of people kind of just tuned out what this team could do. I know I certainly did when I left the FTX Arena. I just didn't think that they were going to be capable of coming back from a 20-point deficit, especially when they were shooting as well, the Nuggets that were shooting as well as they did in the first half. I didn't think Miami was going to come back. They made a decent effort of it. I guess that's it, really. I mean, there are just teams that you match up well against, right? Like Miami spanked Utah twice. Utah, a better team as far as their record is concerned than the Denver Nuggets. A really, really great regular season team. And Miami dismantled them. They were able to handle them both pretty easily. Of course, Utah had comebacks of their own in those two games, but Miami won them. So there's just matchups that certain teams might be able to take advantage of. Denver, a really, really bad matchup for the Heat.
Yeah, maybe we save this conversation for the next segment when we talk a little bit more about Bam. But to me, that matchup between him and Jokic is just something that every time those two guys get together, I'm watching, because Jokic is the guy that gives Bam the most problems. Like, for what it's his size, it's his ability to also play that finesse game in addition to the size. It's what makes him the MVP of the league. But Bam, you would think he would have a little bit of a better time with it than some other guys, just because Bam is so good. It's a player of the year type of player, but we could talk about that more later.
Well, we will get into some player grades and then maybe answer some bigger questions about this team in the third segment. But first, let me tell you all about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. It happens. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. It's the holidays. Everybody wants to spend a little extra cash. Truebill will help you get some of that back. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, you forget about them. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. I love Truebill. They've saved me at least tens of dollars that I can think of off the top of my head when I just ignored a subscription I signed up for. You know how it works out. You get that $1 free trial or something like that. Next thing you know, you're paying $15 or more dollars a month. Forget about it. Truebill makes you cancel those subscriptions. It reminds you, hey, don't pay for this anymore, and that's why you should download it today. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockdownNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockdownNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockdownNBA.
All right, boys and girls, it's time for player grades. Time for report cards. And David, not a whole lot of great grades to give out after tonight's game. But the first guy we need to talk about is Bam Adebayo. I'm just going to get right into my grade.
Professor West, excuse me. Before we move on, can I address, I was going to say the elephant in the room, but it's more like the flamingo in the room. Now that you're sporting the glasses and the tie, the flamingo just stands out a little bit more. I didn't notice it before, but it's pretty it's omnipresent right now in the screen there. I love it. It's a great touch. Yeah.
His name is Paddock. He's got a brother named Philippe.
Exotic. Some
fancy flamingos. Yeah, some fancy flamingos here.
They all are, right? I mean, that's just the nature of the flamingo.
Where's the brother here? I think he's right here.
Now, why does he not get, is it because his head is down? He's just like a four. His head's down.
It's a little bit of a pinky in the brain type of situation here. This is the dumb one. Oh. So he gets to go down there.
Poor Philippe. Yes. That poor bastard.
How did you know
Paddock.
That? Good idea. Paddock and Philippe.
There we go.
Yep. All right. So did I already say that I subscribe to the YouTube channel? All right. If you're listening on the podcast, which most of you do at this point probably, but and you have no idea what the flamingo thing that we're talking about, you would only know if we were watching on YouTube. And so you ought to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And even if you prefer to listen on the podcast, which we get if you're on your commute, I don't recommend watching on YouTube. If you're commuting to work, you know, I think just keep listening to the podcast, do what you're doing. You're doing great. But throw us a subscribe on the YouTube channel. We're still trying to get to 1,000. We're really close. Let's get to 1,000 subscribers so that we can start monetizing the channel. It'll go a long way for us in lining our pockets and actually maybe going one step further to owning a Paddock Philippe and not just naming toy flamingos after them. So
I would never own a flamingo, Wes.
All right. Bam Adebayo's grade. He gets an F and he gets an A. It's a tale of two halves for Bam Adebayo. The F, obviously, in the first half when he couldn't score. He was 0-for-5 of his first five shots for 0 points for most of that first half. And in that second half, he had 20 points on 9-for-12 shooting and was the main reason why Miami was able to quote-unquote, get back into the game, even though it never really was a game. They made a couple of runs here and there. He scored seven straight points and then 8 straight points in two different pockets of the second half. And I also just want to bring him up because there was an instant during the game, David. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was a timeout in that second quarter when the game was really getting away from them. And Udonis Haslem was laying into Bam Adebayo on the sideline, the baseline, right near their own basket. And Udonis Haslem just visibly kind of just yelling at Bam, telling him something along the lines of, I would imagine, hey, you need to play with more intensity. You have an opportunity to dominate this game and be the best player on the floor. And Bam Adebayo, right after that, in the second quarter, David, came out and he was much more aggressive, much more active. He was chasing rebounds. He was chasing dudes around the floor. He was trying to get his own shot. He was forcing it a little bit. But that's better than him being passive the way that he was in that first quarter. Got into some fouls here and there, but I just love the intensity that he was playing with. And eventually it paid its dividends in the second half when, again, he scored 20 points and started to get Miami a little bit of belief there in the second half, for whatever that's worth.
I imagine Haslam's language probably a lot more colorfully than that. But yes, it seemed like he probably did light a fire under him. I noticed early on in the game that Bam, I hate to use the word passive because it feels like those things get tossed around so much when it comes to assessing Adebayo. Oh, he's passive. Aggressive Bam. This is the one that we want to see, etc. You know, I think there are specific moments there when Adebayo understands that he can be more or less aggressive. Today, the first half, what I saw from him was not necessarily intimidation. Like, it's not like he didn't want to attack Jokic, but I think he was trying to play the role of playmaker first and foremost, and that didn't quite work out. He had a number of his assists early on, and then maybe after UD's sermon, that kind of, you know, kind of ignited the spark. It's like, you know what? Quit trying to get everybody else going. Quit trying to balance that, which you do so well on occasion. Just be aggressive. Get your points. And it worked out. And maybe if that had been the attack mindset at the beginning, and I know a lot of people say that's what it should be always, but that's not who Bam Adebayo is. And it's funny that it should come against a game with Nikola Jokic, who faced the same pressure from Nuggets fans for years because they accused him of not necessarily being soft, but why is he always looking to make the pass? You're 7 feet tall. You can just stretch over anybody and finish. You've got a great shooting touch. You can score over anybody. We saw that today. And yet he was accused of being too passive because he was just looking to get everybody going. That's just the way some players are. That's just what you get from Bam Adebayo. That's why he is the great player that he is, because he's a 6 foot nine and he can make plays for others as well as he can. So anyway, moving on, I agree with
you. You make a really good comparison there with Bam and Jokic, and it wasn't something that I thought about. And I'm looking at the box score now, David. Bam Adebayo's final line, 24 points on 11 of 19 shooting, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists. Nikola Jokic's final line, 24 points, 9 for 14 shooting, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists. I mean, those are almost identical box scores by these two centers, these unicorn modern type of looking forward type of next generation centers. And the only difference, I think, is the teammates. I mean, you look like who Bam is playing with. No offense to Caleb Martin. We're about to talk about him in a minute, too. But, you know, Duncan Robinson, who we're going to talk about next, is not able to make shots. You get guys like Will Barton making shots. You get guys like Aaron Gordon making shots. It was the difference in the teammates, but you're absolutely right. Like, this is who Bam is. He's not going to be a guy who's out there scoring 30 points a night. He wants to get guys involved, especially on a night without Jimmy Butler, without Tyler Herro, without some of their, you know, shot creators, their playmakers. He thought that, hey, this is the way that I can impact the game. He really does have a point guard type of mindset, which lends itself to what he did, right? Trying to get guys involved in the first half. This is classic point guard Isaiah Thomas stuff. Get guys involved early, take over late in the game. That's what Bam Adebayo does time and time again. We saw it again tonight.
That's the right mindset, too. Without Jimmy, without Tyler, it's like, get Duncan going. Because if he catches fire, that's the difference right there. Get Gabe going. Get, you know, Caleb going, which he did. I mean, all of these players, if all the guys on the fringes get going, all of a sudden it's a much more balanced attack. You're not relying on any one player. It just backfired because nobody else was able to step up.
Quick grade on Duncan Robinson. He gets a frowny face. He's not cashing him in right now. He's getting a frowny face from me. I'm sick. I'm tired of giving him Fs. I feel like it's not helping at this point for Duncan Robinson, but I am just going to be frowny face here because it felt like he was starting to turn the corner, David. And he puts out a stinker like this, you know, clunking off 8 of his 9 three-pointers off iron. And this was a night where they needed him so badly, where Bam Adebayo is playing that playmaker role. We're seeing a lot more of those dribble handoffs, a lot more of, let me set a screen for you, get you involved. Right. And he just seemed to get, he wasn't making the shots, David, but he was also he seemed a little slow coming into those handoffs, kind of trying to get around those screens and things like that. I don't know if there's injury. I don't know if there's fatigue going on, but he just didn't seem as spry as he used to, as he typically does.
No. In fact, on one occasion, I saw him completely earn a foul. I've been very, not necessarily supportive, but I think I've been kind of balanced in saying, you know what, there are just some calls that he gets going against him that are completely unfair. And one scenario there I saw where he was just like, Max Strus called for a switch and Robinson wound up picking Aaron Gordon. And Duncan, just completely brain farted his way through the possession. Just was like, huh, what do I do now with this guy who's like 6'9" and outweighs me by 50 pounds and is much more physical? Oh, let me wait until he initiates contact. And then I have to overcompensate by getting my hands stuck in the cookie jar, which is exactly what he did. And he got a stupid foul called against him at a time when Miami was trying to build some momentum. That was in the second quarter. And I was like, not disgusted necessarily, but it was just a stupid play from a guy who's much more cerebral, much more aware of what he's supposed to do. And he just completely blew it. So frowny face might be putting it mildly. I don't know what else. Maybe the poop emoji might be necessary next time. I don't want you to actually draw,
David. You're asking way too much of me right now.
Put Paddock to do it. I'm sure he could do it. Maybe Philippe. Just put Philippe. You know, for an A, you put Paddock. For an F, you put Philippe. What do you think?
You get a yeah. Duncan Robinson got a Philippe for the night. all right, last one is Caleb Martin. Gonna give him a B plus here. Because nobody gets an A on a night where you lose like that. Nobody gets an A on
He tried his best. Like he tried his best. 33 tried minutes, his best, 8 but you don't 50, get an A. Look,
wins is the most important stat. You get a B plus. Had they won, you would have gotten an A. That's not necessarily his fault, but that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. 18 points on 8-for-15 shooting, 4 rebounds, an assist. The most notable stat in his line is the fact that his plus minus was 0, which normally you'd be like, well, he didn't really do much of anything. But considering that PJ Tucker was a minus 11, Bam was a minus 9, Kyle Lowry was minus 11, Duncan Robinson was minus 14. Of all the starters, Caleb Martin was the one who had the least bad impact filling in for Jimmy Butler.
He sucked the least. B+. Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to go a step further and go ahead and give him the A. We'll split the difference and call it an A minus, I suppose. But I think
that's not how that works. You're not wearing the bow tie.
I don't even own a bow tie. I don't know where
I didn't either before we had to do this bit.
You came prepared, my friend. And speaking of getting prepared, we'll talk a little bit more about the state of the Heat because tonight's game kind of forcing everybody to reassess things a little bit after such positivity following a big win in Chicago over the weekend. But you know what? Don't worry about that. If you're looking for the best place to place your wagers, BetOnline has you covered on all seasons. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues to march to the playoffs, the Dolphins are looking much better. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that first bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, and more. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Just a reminder that you can always reach us via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. And because your feedback is so important to us, we put together a very brief survey to let us know more about how you listen to the show or watch the show in some cases. Just another opportunity to reach out to us in a way no other outlet encourages. We love to hear from you. We want that feedback. Please sign up and review. Go on iTunes, wherever you get podcasts, or go and, of course, and subscribe to our show on YouTube because we want to keep producing the best content possible and we want to hear from you. So fill out that survey. It's going to be in our show notes on both YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. So make sure you check that out. But first, Wes, I guess as we're wrapping up today's discussion, we could talk a little bit more about Duncan, but I think both you and I are kind of sick of the conversation about Duncan Robinson because I'm not sure what else there is to say about it. I think that's the hot topic. I think that's what a lot of Heat fans want to get into. There's a lot of discourse about who struggled the most. I think it was pretty obvious it was Duncan on a night when, you know, Bam might have been injured or that the Nuggets just played extremely well. As you pointed out in the first segment, a lot of people still got hung up on Duncan's poor play, but I don't know what else there is to say about it. He's not going to get removed from the starting lineup. Even if when Tyler is available, I just don't think there is anything else to say, really. I mean, if there's something else that you want to add, feel free. But at this point, I'm ready to kind of move on from the Duncan conversation.
No, I mean, I mentioned how he was moving a little slow. Maybe it's an injury thing. Maybe he's just lost pep in his step because he wasn't shooting well. And that happens, right? The wind coming out of your sails a little bit. I would like to see a little bit more of the Bam Adebayo Duncan Robinson pick and roll. And I wrote on the West Side this week, I had observations from the first 20 games of the season, kind of big questions that the front office has to ask going forward. And one of the things I wrote in that column was that I'd like to see more Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo, two-man game stuff because Lowry's able to set screens as well as he is. Bam Adebayo, same way. Both of them can make plays out of those situations, and they've shown flashes of being dominant in those situations. But I'd like to also see Bam get involved in that patented pick and roll with Duncan Robinson, because it's been so effective. I mean, that's Miami's version of the Steph Curry, Draymond Green thing. And there are a lot of stats where Duncan Robinson, when he's shooting well, it's very Steph Curry-esque. Okay, he's not Steph, but it's right. Like that, with his ability to strike fear in opponents and catch fire and do so from 35 feet out. So you can really extend those plays. And then Bam, obviously, what he's able to do, I mean, he's just souped up Draymond Green, right? Like, his ceiling is better version of Draymond. Like, that really is Bam's ceiling. And so you can put those two together and you can kind of create a two-man game, a pick and roll, pick and pop type of situation. I just want to see more of that, because I think it would get Duncan Robinson going a little bit. It would also get Bam getting going a little bit more. You can get him going downhill on those high screens and stuff. I like what Eric Spoelstra has done with the offense in general. It's just really unpredictable. The passing is exquisite. They're doing so much stuff between, like, underneath the three-point arc that it's just so hard to keep track of for an opponent. But sometimes maybe you might want to lean a little bit more into that two-man game with Duncan and Bam. That was my only takeaway.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Was he Miami's worst player? What does he deserve, the kind of vitriol that Heat fans are laying into him at this point in time? Because it seems like there's a lot of frustration with a guy who is so one-dimensional. And all the arguments in favor of Duncan are, well, he has this gravity. He makes an impact in other ways. But if he's slow on defense, if he's making boneheaded plays and getting, you know, ticky-tack fouls that he shouldn't pick up, and if he's not contributing in any other way, and if at this point, I mean, does he still have that gravity? Yes, but I'd say it's probably less than it has been in years past. He's not attracting defenders the same way he did last season or the year before, certainly. So,
yeah, he's not getting the double teams anymore. I mean, his man will close out hard on him still, and you still create openings for cutters that are on his side and stuff like that, but he's not getting the doubles. He's not striking fear in the opponent. They're not, you know, shake it in their boots the way that they were last season and the season before that. That'll come. I really do. I mean, look, it's a 1-for-9 night on a night where nobody was shooting well for Miami, right? And that kind of stuff is contagious, whether you want to believe it or not. But before this, he was 6-for-14 against Chicago. I'm sorry, 4 overall, 4-for-11 from 3-point range against Chicago, 5-for-15 the day before that, or the game before that in Minnesota. He was 3-for-6 before that. It felt like he was starting to get going. I think this is going to be more blip than trend here. I think he's mostly out of that shooting slump that dominated the stories early in the year. I do anticipate a bounce back. I do anticipate a progression to the mean at some point for Duncan Robinson. To me, it's still just a matter of when, not if. I'm not starting the trade machine. I'm not doing any of that stuff with Duncan Robinson. Just give it time. And when he does get on a roll here, David, it is going to open up the offense so much for the Heat. And I think we're really going to see the domino effect, the ripple effects of that. And I think whenever Duncan Robinson does get going, I think the Heat are going to go on a run.
Okay. One last question before we wrap things up. Well, actually, maybe a second bonus question I'll throw in there. But, you know, we talked yesterday's episode about the 20-game benchmark for the Heat and assessing this group. And I think we've had enough of a sample size now, despite injury, despite some players being missed out of the lineup here and there. I think you've got a good pulse for what this team is. And as we talked about yesterday, Pat Riley, the front office, probably sees them more likely to be a contender than a pretender. And given that, they want to make changes. Then you have a game like this where it's completely the opposite. You never want to kind of have your personality swayed from one game to another. Heat fans always, or all fan bases will be like that, of course. But this was a pretty bad game. You get exposed a little bit by a Denver team that's missing some key players. And, of course, yes, you're missing Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. But does that change your assessment of this group? Does it kind of make you realize maybe you're not as close to contention as we had talked about in yesterday's episode? Or is that too overreactionary?
This is a flush it down the toilet game, David. I don't even know that there's a point of watching the film in this. Like, you don't play Denver again for the rest of the season. I think you just move on to Cleveland on Wednesday. You just flush this game down the toilet, never look at it again.
All right. Give me something positive, man. What happened on Thanksgiving? You never wind up talking about whether or not you drank more than you ate dessert. I think that was your prediction from Nasir Jumwest the week before. Was there anything positive from your Thanksgiving meal?
I guess that Nostradamus was right once again. There was a lot of different kinds of alcohol drank. I think I only had two kinds of pie, pecan and key lime. I definitely drank more kinds of alcohol than that on Thanksgiving and the entire weekend. It was, I don't remember a whole lot of that weekend, David, but I think it was a good time. I ended up with a flamingo somehow. So
yeah, you were also right that this game was drama free. That was somewhat disappointing, yeah. Unfortunately. Would you have liked to have seen Udonis Haslem play some minutes there? Because a lot of people wanted to see it happen. I know some fans were starting to call out the Jokic brothers, saying we want the Jokic brothers, an actual chant at the FTX Arena, wanting to fight two tall Serbians there. I'm not sure if that would have worked out as well as they would have liked it to, but should Haslem have gotten some minutes, particularly when they were struggling early on, or would that have been a bad decision from Spo?
I mean, who doesn't love to see Haslem minutes in a game where you're losing by 15? I thought, you know,
24 throw him out there, at some point, happens. Yeah.
24, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but I guess the reason why was that they wanted to pick up the pace. They wanted to try to keep up with Denver, knowing that if you put Haslem out there, he's going to have a hard time. You might not want to risk embarrassing you against the MVP of the league. Maybe that has played a factor. They ended up going young at the end during garbage time. That's fine. I'm glad this whole storyline is over.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can put this one to bed. A game that we're happy to put in the rearview mirror. The quarter century point of the season has now passed. 21 games under the Heat's belt, 13-8. Moving forward with the next 75% of the regular season, they'll bounce back on Wednesday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll be there at that game. Hopefully, we can stay for the whole game this time, and they'll be able to put up a 48-minute effort, because that was not quite what we saw today against the Denver Nuggets. But thank you, as always. Thank you for making this a 30-plus-minute effort on your behalf, for making Lockdown Heat your first listen every day. Remember that every episode is always free and available wherever you get the show, so make sure you subscribe to get the best coverage available. Make sure to also check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. This is David Ramil signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Happy Hanukkah.
Is Paddock Jewish?